Welcome to another episode of Systematic Geekology. This is a space where we seek to create and cultivate healthy conversations between those things we geek out on and the philosophical and theological questions that often arise out of our fandoms. Like, what does it mean to be human? What makes a hero? What makes a villain? How do the stories and narratives we geek out on shape how we live in the world? We are your priest to the geeks. We aren't all ordained, but we see ourselves as mediators at the intersection of geek culture and going deeper in our faith. We don't always have to agree, but we do respect each other, and we see everyone as a beloved child of God. Everyone geeks out on something, so come geek out with us and enjoy the show.
You're listening to an Anazal Ministries podcast.
Some friendships are so strong, they can even transcend lifetimes. Uncle Iroh. Welcome back to the Systematic Ecology Drive-In Series, where we are metaphorically parked under the stars, revisiting movies of all kinds. This theme is low scores on Rotten Tomatoes. And so this is our ongoing Drive-In Series. If you enjoy this, make sure you check out the other shows in this playlist to see what other hosts has picked. My name is Elizabeth Clyde, and I am here with Alex, who this is her pick for the Rotten Tomato Drive-In. We are partners in crime. I still haven't figured out what I'm picking yet, but we're talking today about the 2010 Avatar: The Last Airbender movie. So, Alex, how are you doing? Tell us why you chose this one.
Hello, I am doing good. I chose this one because it was just really, like, I don't even have the words to describe how bad this movie was to me.
5% on Rotten Tomatoes. So,
5%. Yeah. Like, I'm surprised it even got 5. You would think it would get 0 because this was the first movie I've ever watched that I left the theater like, what the heck did I just watch? Normally, I love movies. Like, I never have a problem with a movie, but this is probably the first, if not the only movie that I strongly disliked. I left the theater so confused.
So you actually, man, I feel like you can really get into character as a drive-in leaving because you actually saw this in theaters. And so I think the worst part about this is the anticipation and the buildup before going to the mm-hmm. movie. So I actually just saw this for the first time last week when you referred it because I heard how bad it was. And so I was like, you know what? I didn't even give it a chance because I trusted the opinion of my peers. So I didn't even watch it at all until last week. So you had that buildup, that anticipation, and then you just deflated hard. So about what part into the movie did you realize, oh no, this is bad?
I think when they said Aang instead of Aang, that I was like, wait.
Oh, wait a minute.
I was like, wait a second. This isn't right. This is not right. It's Aang. Who's Aang? Who is that?
That is wild. Yes, I was very confused.
Yeah, it was a letdown because like the trailers made it look so good. And I'm a huge like Avatar fan, like grew up watching it. I was like 10 when this movie came out. So I was like, oh yeah, like I'm caught up with all the episodes, saw all the things, blah, blah, blah. This is going to be great.
Mm-mm. This is a lot of people's, this is like this and Pokemon, I would think, are people's cartoon that gateways them into anime a lot of the time. Like growing up watching Nickelodeon. I mean, I have, this is not on YouTube, this episode, but you can see right here, I have all the tribe symbol tattoos of the nations. So literally Avatar is tattooed on my body. So I was very excited when you recommended this, but then I was also very sad because I had to watch it. I don't know if it was just, and I was trying to keep in mind when I was watching this last week, because this was 2010 and we've come so far with CGI, but I don't know if it was just the bad acting or the bad CGI or all the above. Like Katara was just a little like, whenever they with fighting like the Fire Nations in the Earthbending camp, that push to the gourds just took me out. She was like, mm-hmm. Trying to like get them to back off, like a little eh. It's like, what was that, girl?
Yeah, the CGI, I didn't realize how bad it was then, but then I rewatched like some scenes of it like recently just to refresh. And looking back, I was like, what in the world was that? Like, there's that one scene where the earthbenders were like doing their thing and like they do this really fierce move, and then you just see a pebble just slowly fly across the screen. And I'm like, what?
Yeah. I know they had this whole like routine.
Yeah.
And everything. I was like, okay, we're getting some action. And
it was so anticlimactic. I was like, what?
Nothing.
I was like, what is this? Who okayed this?
Awful. And granted, I'm like, because obviously Aang and them, they are young. So watching this, obviously in like middle and high school, when you're like the same age, is different when I am in my 30s watching this. But I'm like, they just seem so extra young.
Yeah. You know?
Watching this last week, and then it just seemed, but even when they were young, they never seemed like children in the original Nickelodeon, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Did you ever read the comics or the actual whatever they're called?
No, I haven't. I've been thinking about reading them.
I think you can get the whole set on Amazon. It's a couple hundred, but you can like buy the complete box set. So in case you want to ask for that for Christmas, or in case any listeners want to gift Alex and I the joys of reading Avatar, we would not say no.
Absolutely.
Whatsoever. Can you say anything good about this film? Like, let's try and find the 5% the Rotten Tomato gave it.
Why did it even get a 5%? let me see. Try to find the good.
I mean, Momo was fun. We loved Momo still.
Yeah, Momo was fun. I did see something on TikTok when the Netflix series came out, the live action Netflix series. They compared the hair for the princess. What's her name?
Oh, the Moon Princess.
The Moon Princess. They compared the hair and like how the hair was more detailed in the movie than it was in the Netflix show.
Okay.
So I guess costumes and hair was a little better than the Netflix, I guess. I don't really remember, but I did see that. So there's a little.
I did like the flirting because I'm always known as a romance person among of our hosts because I just love. So I loved like, you know, the Sasha, the Suko and Moon Princess, like flirting type deal, because that was kind of sweet, like seeing them doing the little side glances. But yeah, I mean, it's just the pacing to me. Like, I can't give it a good rating because of the pacing.
Yeah.
It was like, we blink
a lot.
And I was like, there's no, like, especially, I mean, thankfully, I don't know if it's good or bad, but like, you know, whenever they go to the other water tribe, Katara was able to, I guess, do bending right alongside of them. So they didn't have the whole, only females can heal, you can't go into war. So there was, you know, they took away those gender norms, which, you know, appreciate girl power. But that, you know, that adversary added to the storyline of making Katara bad booty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I'm like, so she hasn't had to overcome that. You took away a big part of her, like, personality. And we didn't have Toph. So has Toph, like, did Toph ever make an appearance? Well, I know Toph never made an appearance in the live action, but I couldn't remember if she came before or after that earthbending camp, or if Toph was planned to come.
You talking about the movie or the...
The live action movie. I couldn't remember if Toph was supposed to already be in the live action or not, like with the pacing, because they went so quickly.
Yeah.
Or if it seemed like they wrote out her character completely.
Yeah, I don't remember her being in that.
She definitely wasn't in it. Yeah. But the way they wrote it, like, should have been.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if they wrote out her character, because obviously they plan to make more movies with the way they had the cliffhanger, but they did not.
And they did not.
I wonder what the producers' reactions were about how bad it was.
You know, did they even include like the original author? I can't remember.
I don't remember either.
Because if I feel like if they did include the original author, then it would go a completely different. It would be better. So they would get more than 5%.
My best friend, ChatGPT, I said their letters in the correct order this time. I just asked Chat. I was like, what was the reaction of the producer and director? And so I guess M. Night Shyamalan, sorry for the bad pronunciation, who were both the writer and director of The Last Airbender, was complex, defensive, and at times surprisingly dismissive of the fans' criticism. So I guess he is in denial. He emphasized that he made The Last Airbender for a younger audience, saying critics just didn't get it. And he blamed the critics, so that's always good. Yeah, so...
What? I guess,
yeah, he says, and he pointed because everyone, like, so you were one of these dollar signs. So he pointed out, like, you know, it was a success because the film grossed over $300 million worldwide in the box office despite the terrible reviews. Well, because they didn't know better. You didn't know better when
also,
you
like,
went.
This was what, 2010? That was when movies, like movie culture was strong. This was
We didn't have we still were getting DVDs on Netflix, you know what I mean? They were still mailing us DVDs in 2010. We didn't have live streaming. We didn't have the Fire Sticks from Amazon.
Mm-hmm. And I think this was like the one of the first like live action adaptations to an animated thing. So of course people are going to be excited to see that.
Correct. I mean, we grew up on Avatar, like we were ready. Mm-hmm. And then at this time, live actions were still new. It's not like Disney where they are doing live action everything to make a dollar. So this was kind of like cutting edge, like a new, not a genre. That's not what I'm thinking of. But we never seen anything like this before that I can remember. And apparently he never apologized for the film and the badness of it. It was originally supposed to be a trilogy, but the sequels were quietly like just put on the shelf. And he never acknowledged the depth of the backlash of Avatar The Last Airbender or anything. Yeah. Wow. I mean, he did do like more successful projects like Split and Glass. So I'm curious what that was on Rotten Tomatoes, but that might have to be a different episode. But yeah, I was shocked watching it last week. And then I kind of acknowledged what he kind of like critiqued was, since I am an older audience now, it seemed kind of young, but a good movie, you would want the parents to watch it with the children.
Mm-hmm.
Like you would want them to be in, like you should ask for a wider audience of not just 9 and 10 year olds. Plus I'm a child who still watches anime. So like I'm literally watching like Naruto, rewatching it for funsies.
I need to finish that. I grew up watching it when it first came out and I dropped off on Shippuden and haven't looked back, but I need to.
You should. Everything's like English dubbed now, so mm-hmm. it's nice because I can have it in the background while I'm cooking and cleaning and being an adult, which is really sad. I hate being an adult, but I'm in Boruto now, so you just gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's try and find something else good about this film.
I'm trying to look up things about it. I really can't find anything good
to say. I mean, it's still fresh. I cannot remember the last time. Okay, well, this isn't good. But I remember I'm sitting on my kitchen island. It's on my laptop. I had to get, thank goodness I didn't rent it because I couldn't find it for free anywhere. So I signed up for like a Peacock, the 7-day like week subscription for it so I could watch it for free. And I'm sitting there eating a bowl of cereal, watching it on my laptop, and I just couldn't wait for it to be over.
Wow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm just like, I'm just ready. I'm like, because I wanted, since we were doing the podcast on it, I wanted to give it my full attention and not double screen it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm literally just like, so of course, if I can't double screen it, I have to eat because I have a short attention span like a child. So I just kept on thinking, I'm like, when is this going to be over? And then it was over and I'm like, wait, that was the ending?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm literally trying to find something good about this. I'm looking at Google and let's see. It actually says it has two authors. The show has two authors? I didn't know that. But yeah, the two authors, apparently the movie was greenlit without their approval.
Oh, like the original creators of it? Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
And so they had a big falling out with the production team.
is this why we never find out what happens to Zuko's mom? Is this the fight right now?
I don't know. I mean, there's other books and things that
we never find out
about the lore behind his mom.
But I've never read the books, so I'll never know. And then I've tried to find spoilers, but maybe I just didn't look in the right places. But that's not the live action. But it just shows, once again, like, they could have done so much more with the live action. I don't know why they rushed it, especially even being a part of a trilogy. Like, the anime in itself, well, not the anime, but the cartoon, it has four books, if I remember correctly. So to try and get, like, four books of episodes in a trilogy, I just feel like it was doomed to fail. So the Avatar, The Last Airbender, it consists of 61 episodes, so it was not into four books. I'm thinking of probably another thing. So it was into three books. So it kind of makes sense why they were doing the trilogy. But even then, like, so each book is about 20, 21 episodes. So 20 times 20, let's see, math is hard. So they're putting 400 minutes worth of content in a 90-minute movie. It's just, you can't do that. You're going to get the crowds mad for all the stuff that you leave out. Like, we need to know about bloodbending, and we need Toph, and we need the haiku battle between Zuko and the Kenochi warrior. Those are the things I love about the cartoon. So I feel like they didn't translate anything I loved about the cartoon into the live action movie.
Yeah, they rushed a lot of the things and skipped over the little things that helped with the plot. So it wasn't as full or rich as it should have been, which is another disappointing thing about it.
No worries. Who did you go see the movie with? Because if I was in high school, 2010 is when I graduated. So you were probably what, middle school?
Either middle school or elementary. I was 10. Yeah, I was in elementary school. Mm-hmm.
So as an elementary school student, your parents probably brought you and you just wasted the time and money. How does that make you feel?
I mean, we were all pretty excited for it. Like, my family, we're into like animes and actions and all of that. And we all watched Avatar before. So like the whole family was excited to see it. And then we just left that theater so disappointed. Didn't like it at all.
The fact that the director did not take responsibility of the fans' dissatisfaction of it, and that he blamed the us, kind of just does not sit well with me at all. But, you know, it is what it is. It still made Hollywood a lot of money. I'm still curious where that 5% came from. Maybe they gave it the 5% for nostalgia on Rotten Tomato. But even then, I felt like I didn't even feel nostalgia when watching it.
Let me look it up.
Look it up. Even Uncle Iroh wasn't as lovable in the live action. They should have made him a little rounder.
It doesn't really say like why it got the rating it did. It just says
it probably just got a little bit of a rating because it was nostalgia's sake. That's what I'm assuming in a way. But I mean, it did still, I will say, it at least kept the concept of the theme of like the nations, the tribes. So, I mean, it communicated what it was, but still, they just did it bad.
Yeah. I don't know what they try to do. I can't even defend them.
Yeah. Well, this is going to be a short episode, guys, because as you can tell, Alex and I have nothing positive to say about this movie. So before we pull out of the lot of the drive-in, leaving very disappointed, what's like a weird or surprising snack that you would have brought to eat at this drive-in?
A weird, surprising snack?
Yes. I would have brought tea for Uncle Iroh. That's my thing. Yeah, I would have just brought tea and like would have sipped it with some like, you know, some crackers or something like that, just so I could channel my Uncle Iroh spirit.
I would have brought cabbage.
Oh, that's a good one. That's very solid. Oh yeah, there was no cabbages.
Right. I was like, where's the cabbage man?
Where is he to say my cabbages? So all the little nuances that we love just did not translate
done
into the movie. But hopefully you guys enjoy this. I would say go watch this movie. Usually we end with the drive-ins, you know, trying to encourage the listeners to watch the movie. But in this case, please don't.
Don't waste your coins.
Don't do it. I'm kind of sad. Like I can honestly say my life is not better after watching this. So
yeah,
do not. But make sure you do rate and review our show on Podchaser, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever that you listen to your podcast of choice. Please give us a rate and review. That would really help us out and we would appreciate it. And also don't forget, if you enjoyed this, you can look at our show notes and look at other episodes similar to this, see what the other hosts have chosen for their Rotten Tomato pick. Until next time, remember, we are all a chosen people, a geekdom, a priest. See you guys later. We're driving out.
Bye.
Hey guys, again, thank you so much for listening to our show and being part of the Systematic Geekology team. If you want to support our team, you can do so by going to Captivate. And I know most people don't listen on Captivate, but it's in the description wherever you're listening. You can go to our website. At the very bottom, you have the options to either subscribe and you'll get some extra content and fun stuff, like our bonus questions, all those kind of things that hopefully you all come to love as much as I love making them with our fellow geekologists on the team. We also are hoping to do some future D&D campaigns, stuff like that, and all that's available for our sponsors. But if you don't have those extra funds and you're not really into the subscription thing, you can also leave a one-time tip, just one-time thing to help out our show as we kind of stay in the game with podcasting, keep relevant with all the technology and all that stuff. And it costs a lot to run a show, and we appreciate you for your help. Again, thank you so much for listening. We value your time, and it means a lot to us that you give us your time by listening to our show and supporting us in that way. If you feel led to support financially as well, we appreciate that. Let's get back to the show.
Hello, Systematic Geekology listeners. This is Kevin here. Just want to give a brief ad for some of the other podcasts in our Anazal podcast network. First of all, off is Let Nothing Move You by Christian Ashley, in which Christian goes through the Bible one chapter at a time and gives his thoughts there. There is also the Bible After Hours, which is a more progressive take on the Bible that tries to challenge the status quo with satire and looks at theology. The host uses the pseudonym, the Foulmouth Preacher. And as a bonus, Joshua Knoll does the voices for this one. So definitely check that one out. And also, And We'll Laugh About That Later is the newest podcast that our own Will Rose is starting, where he will interview friends about a story they had that wasn't funny at the time, but that they laugh about now. So definitely check out these shows and subscribe to us wherever you get your pods. Thank you very much.